Good evening. Take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 4. Fill my cup, Lord. I feel like I'm full after last week and all the preaching. When Pastor asked me to preach, we worked it out the Wednesday before the fellowship meetings. I thought, oh, good, we'll go to the fellowship meetings and there'll be lots of preachers there. I'm sure sooner or later someone will touch on the subject that I'm preaching on, and after 16 messages, I was able to get to 16 different preaching sessions, and not a single person even went close to touching this little passage here. 1 Chronicles chapter 4 and verse 9 and 10. A secluded little passage here, but nonetheless a little gem here. In chapter 4 and verse 9 and 10, this evening, Lord willing, we're going to be looking at some lessons from the life of Jabez. And verse 9 reads, "And Jabez was more honourable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, Because I bear him with sorrow. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested." Don't we need the hand of the Lord upon us tonight? Let's go to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Heavenly Father, Lord, we need you in our midst tonight. Lord, take this broken vessel, Lord, take this mere man, a human, Lord, and use your word to speak to us tonight, we pray. Lord, I pray that people here would not hear the words of Seth Roffle, but that they would hear the words of what the Holy Spirit has put in this passage of Scripture. And Lord, we pray that you may speak to each of us tonight for your glory. May you be honoured and glorified in the Lord Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. If you look at the first nine chapters of 1 Chronicles, someone has said that it reads very much like a Hebrew phone book. I want you to have a look there. Have a look at chapter 1. Run your eye over chapter 1 and you'll see that there's just name after name after name. You get to chapter... Put my notes right over here. That's all right. You go right through there. If you just run your eye over it, the first two chapters there, you get to chapter 3 and you've got name after name. You get to chapter 3 and it says, "Now these were the sons of David. They're born unto him in Hebron, the firstborn Amnon and Ahinoam, Jezreelitess, the second Daniel of Abigail, the Carmelitess," and away he goes, name after name after name after name. Run your eye right down chapter 3, you get to chapter 4, the sons of Judah, Perez, Hezron, Carmi, Hur, Shobal. Name after name after name after name. You get down to verse 7 of that passage and it says, the passage we read, just get in context here, "And the sons of Helah were Zereth and Jozar and Ethnan, and Koz begat Anub and Zobibar." What a name there. "And the families of Aharhel, the son of Haram. And Jabez was more honourable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, Because I bear him with sorrow. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. And Chelub, the brother of Shua, begat Mehur, which was the father of Eshton. And Eshton begat Bathrephah, and Pisiah, and Tehina, the father of Ernahash. These are the men of Rekah." And away he goes again, name after name after name after name after name. Get down to chapter 5. "Now the sons of Reuben," name after name after name after name after name. Go down to the end of chapter 9. "And Heshbon," no, that's the end of chapter 6. "And Azel had six sons, whose names are these: Azrikam, Bocheru, Ishmael, Sheariah, and Obadiah, and Hanan. These were the sons of Azel." And in chapter 10, the Holy Spirit finally goes back to a normal narrative, as we would say. "Now the Philistines fought against Israel, and the men of Israel fled from before the Philistines and fell down slain in Mount Gilboa." Let's look at verses 9 and 10 as we start to focus here. The Holy Spirit stops the genealogies here for two whole verses and points out the prayer of Jabez. Now, I just want to pause here to say that the prayer of Jabez is not the only model prayer in the Bible. Neither is it trying to read my notes here. Neither is it. Okay, neither is anywhere near the best prayer in the Bible. Okay, we have 2 Chronicles in the same book here, and Chronicles does seem to have a bit of a theme on prayer. You know, I'm going into memory here, you remember King Solomon when he prayed in 2 Chronicles 6 before the dedication of the temple, and what a wonderful prayer that was. Okay, and I'm just saying this because Bruce Wilson, some of you may or may not have heard, just out of curiosity for my own interest, like how many people have heard a message on Jabez before? How many people here have heard a message on Jabez? Just a couple. Okay. So there is a guy in America who wrote a book, Prayer of Jabez, and he started just blowing it out of proportion here. It started becoming a bit of a fad among independent, or not even just among a broader Christianity, really. Tried to make some quick money, wrote a little book, and there's even an American preacher who said he went into a Walmart one day and there was a window full of, as he called it, Jabez junk. You can buy the Prayer of Jabez book. You can buy the special leather-bound edition for an extra $5. You can buy Jabez mugs, and it's another try of the WWJ. Do you remember the armbands that used to be there? Just a fad. So I just want to say it's not this guy in his book basically takes his prayer as a magic formula and says if you pray it for 30 days over, God will prosper you. That's the essence, I understand, of his book. I'm not saying that, but I believe that the Holy Spirit here has stopped during this time to give us some verse that we can learn some lessons from. We just said the verse in 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why? That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Do we desire to be made perfect, to be made more Christ-like? Let's have a look at these verses. Let's have a look at what we do know about Jabez. There's not a whole lot written about Jabez in the Bible. What we do know about Jabez, who he was, and what we know about him. Jabez does seem well known when Ezra, under the Holy Spirit's inspiration, was writing this book. Seems he was well known at the time. And you notice how abruptly he is mentioned here. Jabez in verse 9 just comes straight in a new paragraph. And Jabez, it doesn't say that Jabez was the son of someone. And afterwards it doesn't go on to say that Jabez begat anyone. It just says, and Jabez was more honourable than his brethren. I want to have a look at this here, brethren, and notice that that is referring to his kindred or his relatives. Okay, now remember this is in the midst of about nearly some 500 names here. I didn't take the time to count all the names in the 9 chapters, but there's some 500 names here. And the Holy Spirit says here, points out Jabez, that he was more honourable than his brethren, at least more honourable than his relatives and those around him. He was more honourable compared with his relatives or compared with his brethren. The Holy Spirit here, I believe, is saying that Jabez was more significant than these other names mentioned. Why? Why was Jabez more honourable than his brethren? I think we'll note as we go along that Jabez was noted as more honourable because of his godly character and because of his praying. Jabez is noted in the Bible and known for his praying. I believe this word honourable here to be relating more to his good and his godly character rather than to his position, okay, or his rank in society. Okay, he may have held a high position in the secular world of his time. If you go over to the previous chapter, chapter 2 actually, and verse 55 there. Chapter 2 and verse 55 is the only other mention of Jabez that we have in the scriptures. And it says in verse 55, and the families of the scribes which dwelt at Jabez. Now, there are a lot of different commentators out there. People are coming up with a lot of different things. But Jewish history does tell us that Jabez was a well-versed scribe in the law of God. And he had a town named after him here with some scribes which dwelt at Jabez. And these scribes lived here. They were disciples and followers of Jabez as he taught the law of God. Whatever the case actually is, Jabez, we know one thing about Jabez here, that Jabez lived for the eternal. His life mattered to God. The first lesson I want to point out tonight from Jabez is that we must live our lives for eternal things. And Jabez was more honourable than his brethren. The Holy Spirit points him out here, but Jabez lived for eternal things. Have a look over in verse 21 of chapter 4. It says there, the sons of Reuben and the Gadites and half of the tribe of Manasseh are valiant men. No, that's not the verse I want. Verse 21, the end of verse 21, and the families of the house of them that wrought fine linen. Would you like to be remembered in Scripture as someone who made material? Maybe some nice fabric for spotlight? I wonder if Jabez had a spotlight card. Right, in verse 23, the potters. Verse 23, these were the potters and those that dwelt among plants and hedges, where they dwelt with the king for his work. Some potters there that were remembered as working for the king. Or have a look at chapter 5 and verse 18. The Holy Spirit points out the sons of Reuben and the Gadites and half the tribe of Manasseh of valiant men, men able to bear buckler and sword and to shoot with bow and skillful in war. What would you like to be remembered for if your name was put here? But at least let's be remembered for something godly. How about in chapter 9? If you look in 9 and verses 27 to 30, we have a little bit of a space there without too many names. This is the duties of the Levites. And they lodged in verse 27 of chapter 9. And they lodged round about the house of God because the charge was upon them. And the opening thereof every morning pertained to them. Okay, these Levites were in charge of opening the door. Just interesting that the Holy Spirit notes. So that's what they did. They opened the house of God. And down there in verse 30, and some of the sons of the priests made the ointment of the spices. So there's different things that we remembered for. If we were to end our lives right now, if we were all to end our lives, don't wish that upon us unless the Lord were to come and the rapture were to come, but if we were to end our lives right now and the Holy Spirit were to write a third testament, he's not going to, but let's say he did for a minute, what would we be remembered for? What would we be remembered for? Listen to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and what it says there. In verses 11 to 15, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, so yet as by fire. Living for the eternal. In our modern world, what are some of the things that we want to be remembered by? What are some of the things we would struggle with when it comes to this point? I was thinking about a list here and I've got some things jotted down here. How about the way we look in our society, in our world, the way we look? I mean, for fellas to be handsome, for fellas to be muscular, that is something we wouldn't mind having written on our tombstone, maybe, in the culture in which we live. It's funny, but that's what we seem to live for. A lot of us, we look around, or maybe ladies wanting to be pretty. Or about how skilled we are at a sport. Here we go, there's some of the things. Would we be remembered by this? How skilled we are at a sport. How about our popularity? How many people know us? How many people know about us? Living, we're talking about, we're contemplating living for the eternal. What would the Holy Spirit write about us if he were to put our name in a large chronology or a large genealogy of all these people? How about how intellectual we are? I laugh at this one because I've tried all this whole list and I just laugh. Seth trying to rely on intellectualism. Joke. How wealthy we are or how much money we have. These are things we struggle with. These are things we live our lives for. And these are things that people are dying today to be remembered for. They are. People are dying and people remember how much money they had or how wealthy they are, what they left behind in material possessions. How about if we're a great businessman? There's one all us men struggle with. Good at our jobs. Wouldn't it be great if we were to be remembered like Jabez for our praying? You know, we won't all end up being famous. We will not all end up being able to produce great fabrics, as it were, like we saw some of the things that these other people were noted for. We can't all be great politicians or builders or firefighters or policemen, but we can all learn to pray. Colossians 3, 1 and 2. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Right, the second phrase there in 2 Chronicles 4 and verse 9. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. The name Jabez means sorrowful. just means sorrowful. It means to grieve. Now remember, back in Jabez's day, that names meant a whole lot more than they do nowadays. Okay, they were definitely of great importance. In chapter 1 and verse 19, you see Peleg there. I mean, I don't know why they didn't call him Carrot Leg, but they called him Peleg. And his name means earthquake, for in his days the earth was divided. Okay, now, this man had a sorrowful beginning. There's no doubt about it. We read that Jabez had a sorrowful beginning, at least a sorrowful beginning to his life. Jewish history, again, tells us that maybe his mother had extra hard labour. Someone has suggested, like Rachel, remember her ancestor Rachel, who had hard labour and passed away. Someone has said she died during childbirth. Someone has said maybe she had extreme labour. That's interesting because she most probably named him 8 days after he was born, and it seems at that stage she was still remembering whatever this sorrow was in her mind. Jewish history says that his father died and that his inheritance was possibly given away before he was even born. Either way, we don't know, but either way we know one thing, that his mother was still full of sorrow when she named him Jabez, sorrowful one, at the beginning of his life. But to bring us to lesson two that we can learn from Jabez, we know that God blessed Jabez even though he had a sorrowful beginning. If you read verse 10 and Jabez's prayer, you read at the end there, and God granted him that which he requested. And remember, Jabez prayed that he might be blessed indeed. So he was indeed blessed. So lesson two, number two we can learn from Jabez is that God can use sorrow to bring good. Do you have a sorrowful situation in your life? Do you have a painful situation in your life at this time, maybe, this evening? God can use sorrow to bring good. I'm thinking of Esther. And you remember the story of Esther and the sorrow, and she has now risen to be the queen. And she's heard that her people are to be sold. She says to the king, "If I have found favour in Esther 7:4, if I have found favour in thy sight, O king, and if it please the king, let my life be given at my petition and my people at my request. For we are sold, I and my people, to be destroyed, to be slain and to perish." And you know the story. The letter of the law is reversed. Her people are not slain. The man who was causing the problem, Haman, was hung on his own gallows. And you read a few chapters later in chapter 9 and verse 22, as the days wherein the Jews rested from their enemies, and the month which was turned unto them from sorrow to joy, and from mourning into a good day. The Lord specializes in turning sorrowful situations into joyful situations. Psalm 30 and verse 5, "For his anger endureth but a moment, and his favour is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning." A few chapters later in Psalm 90 and verse 15, the psalmist says, "Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil." Tonight, are you in a sorrowful or a painful situation? Listen to Psalm 40. "I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay." There's a painful situation. "And set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord." The beginning of the next verse, "Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust." So God can bring good out of sorrow or pain or grief. The next phrase, "And Jabez called on the God of Israel." And this has been mulling over in my mind for several weeks, maybe months. Jabez called on the God of Israel. He considered who he was praying to when he prayed. Now, I know that doesn't say that in the text, but I'm thinking of the Jewish mindset And I'm thinking of Jabez, who comes before the Lord with a request, and he calls on the God of Israel, the God of who was formerly named Jacob. And in a sense, by calling on the God of Israel, he also had no choice but to reflect upon God's goodness to Israel. Jabez called on the God who took Jacob home after fleeing from Esau. Remember, Jabez is back here in the scriptures. So there's only about a third of the Bible that we have all the rest of the Bible, but he just had this bit here, okay? And he could remember what he had. He remembered that God had changed angry Esau to allow Jacob to come back. Remember, Esau was mad with his brother and wanted to kill him. These are some of the things that Jabez may or may not have reflected on during that time, but Jabez, I'm sure, being the man he was at some stage, looked back at these things as the God that he served. Remember that this was the God who had told Jacob to return to Bethel. We had some good meetings last week at the fellowship meetings, one of the pastors preached on Genesis 35 and a challenge to husbands. It was just basically a sequel to our Wednesday night before we went away. So there, maybe I did get something out of the meetings there, hey? The God who put his terror on the city. It's not like I didn't get anything out of the meetings, anything that goes with my message. God who put his terror on the cities. Remember, the Israelites were travelling and God put his terror on the cities round about them so that Israel would be protected. This is the same God who Jabez prayed to. This was the same God who had said to Jacob, I am God Almighty. This is the God who delivered Joseph out of the dungeon. This is the God who made Joseph the prime minister. This is the same God of Israel who protected Moses. This is the same God who sent the 10 plagues on Egypt. This is the same God who led the Hebrews out of bondage. The Bible says with a strong hand and a stretched out arm. This is the same God who led Israel by a pillar of cloud by day. Imagine that, a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. This is the God who Jabez called upon. So lesson three we can learn from this small passage of scripture. Remember what God has done. Remember what God has done. Remember which God we are praying to. Remember what God has done for Northside Baptist Church here in this place. I mean, thinking about this as well and thinking we serve the God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. And as I think of Jabez and how he called on the God of Israel, Israel was one of his relatives. And oftentimes I've thought that I call upon the God of my father personally who was saved in this place. And I praise the Lord and we worship the God who saved Pastor Weston Sr. all those years ago. Imagine if our pastor's dad hadn't been saved all those years ago. How many of us would be here? We serve and we pray to the God who called him to the ministry all those years ago. Not only saved him, but called Pastor Weston Sr. to the ministry. Our God has allowed him to start Northside Baptist Church all those years ago. The same God allowed Northside Baptist Church to purchase some land right here where we're all seated tonight. Then the Lord allowed Northside Baptist Church to be able to build this building on this land. This is something that we can look back to and see the people who have gone on before us and praise our God and be encouraged by our God and remember what God has done in this very place. And I've grown up hearing stories of my father, from my father-in-law, from Mr. Filer, from my dad, from others who will tell of the exciting things that happened in this place when there wasn't a mother's room there and there was a compactus with the sliding doors all fully pushed back and chairs lined everywhere and this place full and God was moving. Not that the Holy Spirit's movement is just about numbers, and that's not what most of the stories are about, but about how God worked in people's lives and how the Lord worked in this place. Our God has allowed Northside Baptist Church to keep this building over the years. There are many testimonies of churches who have went through financial difficulties, who have shut down, who are not around anymore, but our God has been faithful to keep this place. Our God has allowed many souls to come through the doors of this place to be under the sound of the gospel. The same God that we serve was with Pastor Dennison when he was here, Pastor Buren, and then our pastor, not only our pastor, but now we're looking forward even to a God who's going to bring Pastor Daniel along into our midst as well. I'm sure each of us will have personal blessings. I've got personal blessings from this place. I think of a man who was here many years ago, Mr. Drogomeller. Some people, not many people here, but some people would know that he's a man who witnessed to my dad, I believe, for over 10 years and was saved in this place, well, actually when this church was meeting in a school. And there are many of us who could have personal stories and blessings of how God provided houses for us. I think of my own house, I think of the Cheneys and how the Lord provided there. These are things we've prayed for even as a church, and we've seen the Lord bless our own pastor's house, even Fiona's house. Where is she? Is she here? Oh, there she is there. Praise the Lord. I always end up mentioning you in my preaching, don't I, somehow? Oh, that's how the Lord works. All right, and also there's many of these things. We can think of even other things. I mean, a blessing to me has been, Emmanuel has been a big blessing to me. Someone who the Lord worked in his life to give up an academic career. And I think the Lord used this place to challenge him. These are things that I personally can look back and we can all encourage ourselves and look back and see that the Lord has worked in this place. This is the God we serve. And as we'll see, Jabez was strengthened by his prayer here to pray big things for God when he realised and acknowledged who he was praying to. And we could go on and on. We have, even back to the show outreach, we've had special meetings, Dr. Smith meetings, Barry Webb meetings, baptisms, prayer nights, right up to our pastor preaching at the National Baptist Fellowship meetings. And I think some of us were more nervous than our pastor, praise the Lord, but we were praying for him. Right, a little while ago we prayed for labourers, and we could go down the list there of people that the Lord has brought into this place with gifts suited for the work of the ministry. All glory to God. This is the God that Jabez also called upon. When we're praying, let's remember which God we are praying to. In the second phrase of verse 10, Jabez now begins his prayer, just 33 words, just a very short prayer. Jabez in the first phrase says, "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed." Pastor mentioned this word, "oh," just a little word a few weeks ago in his message. It shows us the urgency of his prayer. This was Jabez's prayer for God's grace. That God would bless him indeed. I want you to notice firstly that his prayer here was urgent. I think back to Genesis 32 and verse 26, where Jacob said to the angel, remember he went across the ford Jabbok and was wrestling there with the angel of God, and he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." That's what the angel said to Jacob. And Jacob says back to the angel of God, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." And Jabez here, I think, had some of that urgency too. I think of Isaiah. It's a common verse, I think, amongst this in this church. Isaiah 64 and verse 1 starts with the same four words as the prayer of Jabez. "Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, that thou wouldest come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence. Do we not have a burning within to see God come down in a greater way in our midst?" So we notice that Jabez, in his prayer for God's grace, had an urgency about him. You'll notice also in that phrase that his prayer was personal. The little word, "me." "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed." Jabez's prayer here is actually a very bold prayer. It's a very specific prayer. He wanted God to personally bless him. And Jabez's prayer was bold. On the end of this phrase, he says, "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed." That word means certainly or really. He prayed, "God, bless me, really, really bless me." This should be the cry of our heart. John 8:36 says, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I think of some of these friends that we know. I think of maybe drug addicts who have been bound in sin, and they get gloriously saved and they're free, but they're free indeed. And Jabez prayed that God would bless him, and while he was at it, he would do a really good job and bless him indeed. In Luke 24, verse 34, they said, "The Lord is risen indeed." Same word again. He had really risen. It's not just we think he's risen. See, Jabez wasn't praying here that he would get a blessing and then one day he would think, yeah, I'm pretty sure that was God's blessing. You know that was. No, he was praying that God would bless him and he would know that he was blessed. And he did. Notice that he was asking God to bless him spiritually. He wasn't praying for a new boat. He wasn't praying for a new car. He was asking that God would bless him spiritually. And we'll see that, I think, in the context as we go on. God's grace is his unmerited favour. It's not something that we deserve. Jabez was basically praying, "Oh Lord, favour me." And some would say, well, isn't it selfish to ask these blessings from God? Luke 11:13, "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?" Or in Luke 12:32, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Do you know it pleases our God to bless his children? Does it not please us as earthly fathers? And we're very limited in what we can give our kids. But it does. If our kids, one of my girls comes to me and asks nicely for something according to something that would be of my will, I want to give it to my kids. It's a blessing for me. It's a pleasure. How much more our Heavenly Father, who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills and the wealth in every mine, when we come before him to pray according to the will of God, how much does he want to open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that there's not even room for us to receive it? In my study, I picked up this little phrase here. Our God is not too little. Our praying is too little. That's so true. Have you been praying for God to really bless you? Well, Jabez prayed for God to really bless him. Look at the third phrase here. Not only did Jabez pray for God's grace, but Jabez prayed for God's growth. Now, next phrase, "and enlarge my coast," and enlarge my coast. The word enlarge simply means to make bigger. It doesn't seem to be a real complicated word. It just means to make bigger. Enlarge, make bigger. But what is he praying for God to make bigger? I believe Jabez was praying that God would make bigger his area of influence for God's glory. Okay, he was not asking God for a bigger house or for more real estate so that he could live more comfortably. I mean, that doesn't really fit the context, does it? He thinks about all the things that God has done. He then prays that God would bless him indeed, and give him a bigger house. It doesn't really fit the context, especially as you go on and look at the rest as well. And I don't think the Holy Spirit would have stopped out of all these verses to pray, to say, here's an example of a man who prayed for more real estate for his own comfort, or for a bigger house for his own comfort. Not that there's necessarily anything wrong with those, and we don't even know in the context he may have ended up with some of these things as God blessed him. Almost like Solomon on the side, he gave him some other things as well. But he was not asking God for something physical, I don't believe. I believe he was asking for God again, asking God for something spiritual, that God would enlarge his area of influence, that God would be glorified. He was asking God for a bigger job to do, with more responsibility, yes, but also with bigger privileges. In essence, Jabez was praying, Lord, enlarge my realm of responsibility. You see, Jabez knew that by asking God to enlarge him, it wasn't just all going to be roses in the garden. There was going to be some work involved. There was going to be some labor involved. There was going to be some stretching of Jabez. Lord, enlarge my realm of responsibility. Question, who else do we find in these 9 chapters of 1 Chronicles? Who else do we find praying for responsibility? In these chapters, we don't find any. Maybe one reason why he was more honourable in his character was because he dared, in a sense, to ask God for more responsibility. You know, if God is going to enlarge us as individuals, it's going to require some stretching. If God is going to enlarge me as a husband, if God is going to enlarge me as a father, it is going to require some stretching of Seth Roffel. I was thinking about our family devotions. It's easy to race in, read a chapter and pray and put the kids in bed. But God's going to have to do some stretching to Seth if he's going to have to enlarge him. Now, I know there's a time and place. You drive 8 hours home and you're all worn out and the kids are all half asleep. Maybe it's time to read a chapter and pray and get them to bed. But I've been challenged by this. If I'm going to ask God to enlarge Seth Roffel for his glory, it's going to require some work. It's going to require some stretching. How about my spiritual talk around the home? How much do I talk spiritually around my home? God may have to do some stretching in my life in order for me to be a better father to my children. How about interceding for my children? I just lately there just seems to be an emphasis, even in this church, of God dealing with fathers. Fathers are the leaders. And I think that's something that is, many of us fathers have noticed God putting his hand in this area. Leading as husbands and as fathers requires some stretching of us to enlarge us. Do you realise that we can pray this prayer even as a church? Lord, enlarge Northside Baptist Church. Enlarge us. Now, we're not talking about a big stadium out the back and a double-storey car park and automatic gates and a big screen out the front that we can adjust with the iPad in here as people drive past. We're not talking about that. That doesn't fit the context here. But if God is going to stretch Northside Baptist Church, that's going to mean more responsibility. It may mean more people, and people at work. People take time. People take labour. Sweat and headaches. But there's more blessings. And Jabez knew this, and I believe that's why Jabez prayed that God would enlarge him. He knew there'd be work involved, but he also knew that there'd be greater blessing, and there was. Another phrase we've heard many times in this church, and especially in our prayer meetings, mercy drops around us are falling, but for the showers we plead. So our prayer should not be, Lord, deliver me from responsibility. Often that's the way we pray. Lord, deliver me from any more responsibility. Help me. The Lord says, well, I can do that, but you're not going to be enlarged. I can't bless you then. Often we pray for relief more than for usefulness. It's time we prayed for usefulness. So Jabez prayed for God's grace. Jabez prayed for God's growth. And thirdly, Jabez prayed for God's guidance. In that phrase there, and that thine hand might be with me. And that thine hand might be with me. To me, this phrase is almost self-explanatory, really. I think of the example of Joseph. We all know the story of Joseph. Some of us recently have heard Jim Berg's series on it, and the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Talk about God taking a bad situation and turning it to good. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. A few chapters later, or verses later, and Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favour in the sight of the keeper of the prison. The Lord's hand was with Joseph. Do you not long to have the Lord's hand upon your life? I don't know about you, but I long to see God's hand upon my life, guiding me, even as Joseph was guided, that the Lord's hand was upon him. What a wonderful thing to have the hand of God upon your life. Isaiah 41:10 and verse 13. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. A few verses later in verse 13 he says, for I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. Someone has said about Jabez and his prayer that he prayed this. He said, Lord, give me a big tractor, and would you drive it? I got to thinking about that and I thought, that's true. Here at Northside Baptist Church, we're praying, Lord, enlarge us. Lord, do something big. Give us a big tractor. Something that will be powerful and strong and will do some work. If you haven't seen any big tractors, go out to Brother Keith's house and have a look at some of the big tractors out there. Praise God, there's some big ones out there. But here at Northside Baptist Church, also our prayer is, Lord, don't leave us alone. Don't leave us alone. The last thing we need is for all the renovations to go smooth in this place. And we build on, and it's all there, and it looks real fancy, and it looks all really nice, but the Lord has left us. And Jabez recognised this, and he prayed for God's guidance in his life. Oh, to have the guidance of the Lord. Do you long for the presence of God in your life? See, there's some good lessons we can learn from Jabez here. I like Jabez. He prayed for growth. Sorry, he prayed for God's grace. He prayed for growth, and he prayed for guidance. And another last lesson we can learn from Jabez, in the last phrase of his prayer there, he prayed for God's guardianship. God's guardianship. And that thou wouldest keep me from the evil, that it may not grieve me. Proverbs 30 verse 8 says, remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me. Psalm 32 verse 2. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. Matthew 6 13. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Jabez saw the importance of praying that God would keep him from evil. Ephesians 4:30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby we are sealed unto the day of redemption. It's as though Jabez prayed, Lord, keep me from the sadness that comes when I fail you, so that I won't feel defeated. Young people, this is a good prayer to pray. Lord, keep us from the sadness that comes when I fail you, so I won't feel defeated, older people alike. Maybe those habitual sins that get us down. Lord, keep us from these sins. How about as a church, we would pray this, we could pray the same thing. Lord, that thou wilt keep us from evil, that it may not grieve us as a church. It may not grieve us. Jude 1, 24 and 25. Now, unto him that is able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. God is able. He's the one we go to in prayer and ask that he would keep us from habitual sinning, keep us from sin that messes up our lives and brings grief, so that we wouldn't have this grieve, this sin that grieves us. Maybe a prayer we could pray before this was pray that sin would grieve us. And I think that Jabez, in a sense, had already prayed this by his spirit here, that he is praying that God would keep him from evil because sin did grieve him. That thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. So he prayed for God's guardianship. And then lastly, the little phrase there, and God granted him that which he requested. The word granted there means he caused it to come to pass. He caused it to come to pass. What are you praying that God will bring to pass in your life? See, God is still in the business of answering prayer. This is the same God that Jabez called upon. He's the same God that we can call upon as individuals and say, oh God, bless me, use me, lead me and keep me. Jabez prayed effectually and much was accomplished. See, Jabez was blessed indeed. God blessed Jabez indeed. We know that. God granted him that which he requested. Say it reverently, but God gave Jabez a big tractor, and he drove the tractor for him, as it were. God kept Jabez from sin. That didn't grieve him. And God guided Jabez. The hand of the Lord was on Jabez like it was with Joseph. We know that. Indeed. And God granted him that which he requested. As we look into the future, do we have a desire to see God enlarge Northside Baptist Church? Now, I'm not just talking about numbers necessarily, and I think that part of God enlarging would probably bring more responsibility, probably bring more numbers, and you probably bring more people into our midst. But do we believe that God can still grant us a request like this? Jabez had a very daring prayer, but God blessed him indeed. The last thing we know about Jabez is that God did bless him. Another verse that has been repeated many times in this place of recent days, James 5:16. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. God still answers prayer. So there you have it, a couple of verses in the midst of 500 plus other names. The Holy Spirit stops and we can learn a few lessons from Jabez. So just in summary, let's purpose in our hearts to live for the eternal, to live for God. Make your life live for God. Remembering that God can use pain like he used Jabez to bring good. Do you have pain? Do you have sorrow in your life? God can bring good out of it. Remember the God we serve, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, and the God of Jabez, still looking to grant our prayers even today. Jabez prayed for growth, he prayed for God's grace, he prayed for God's guidance, and he prayed for God's guardianship. And let's remember, if we remember nothing else tonight, we forget everything that I've said, let's remember God still grants requests. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're thankful, Lord, for Scripture. We're thankful, Lord, for the little gems that you hide in your word. We're thankful for the example of Jabez. And though we wouldn't idolise him as a man or even uphold his prayer above others, Lord, we understand there's some lessons that we can learn from the life of Jabez. Lord, we pray, Lord, as a church here and as individuals, that we would pray this prayer to you. Father, we pray that Northside Baptist Church would call on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldst bless Northside Baptist Church indeed and enlarge our coast, and that your hand might be with Northside Baptist Church, and that you would keep us from sin as a church, Father, that it may not cause grief amongst us and we wouldn't grieve us. And Lord, we look to you to grant this request and enlarge us, Lord, as we pray that you would not leave us. Add your own blessing to this message, we pray. Take away any of the words or thoughts of Seth, Lord, and use your word, Lord, to work in our lives and meet the need of each heart and life here. We pray and ask in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen.